consuming information gives you more perspective. And if you have more perspective, you can make more informed decisions.
Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 96. How do you define the consulting line? Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me here for episode 96, How Do You Define the Consulting Line? If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. This week, I had a chance to chat with Jeff Beal, better known as Mr. Marketology. Jeff Beal is a best-selling author and a marketing strategist who's been featured on The Wall Street Journal, ABC, CBS, Fox, and dozens of other media outlets. Jeff joined the Technology Equals Equality community in 2015 to discuss his entrepreneurial journey. Listen in as Jeff shares the evolution of his practice and insights on mindset, developing boundaries, and understanding the value you bring to the table. So Jeff, welcome back to the show, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the show again.
Certainly. We are super excited to have you back. The last time we spoke, back in 2015, we really spoke about the start of your entrepreneurial journey and how entrepreneurship became a part of your life. But this episode, we're going to move forward. We've learned about the journey and how you started. We talked about, you know, keeping a positive mindset. But now we want to really look at how your practice has evolved throughout the years. What kind of pivots has your practice gone through since the last time we spoke?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, actually, a few pivots. I'm starting off, you have these ideas of this is who we are and what we offer and what we, you know, who we offer it to and so forth. But as you start working with different clients and you start offering different things and fulfilling different promises, you start to really get into your groove. And so for us, I realized that my real strong suit is providing the strategy and making it to where you have a good plan to start with. And then as far as the implementation, being selective on who we service when it comes to implementation. There's a saying that's so true that it's not what you can do, it's what you should do. And so before it was all about, I have the talent and my team has a talent of offering this particular service. But then when we took on the project, it became more complicated staying motivated to fulfill the agreement. Because after getting into it, either we were burnt out with that particular offer or our sights were on something else. And so it became something that held us back. So I started to realize there's certain things that we can do. And you know, a friend of mine said, you can always make money. Everything can be sold. So finding out what you enjoy doing, what you are good at doing, and enjoying the relationship with certain clients, certain audiences is so important. And so I started to hone in and say the company needs to hone in on clients that celebrate us, not tolerate us, clients that appreciate what we do, and then staying in a lane that we enjoy. So I can do, so for instance, let's use web development. I have years of experience in web development, but really don't have the desire anymore to do websites. So if I do take on a website, either it has to be a slam dunk, which they never are. They always seem easy when you first take them on, but they never are.
Right.
Or it has to be very, I would say, lucrative, so that the money outweighs the, I guess you would say, the burden of doing it.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, you really mark it up to where you're almost hoping that they say no, you know, but if they do say yes, it's well compensated. So what I realized is what I enjoy the strategy. I enjoy sharing information. Mm-hmm. So the real pivot was saying, instead of actual implementation and even to an extent consultation, why not provide information that you can actually provide at a price? So you're selling information, but you're also providing strategies. And as the student is ready, you move them up the ladder closer and closer to you being one-on-one partners with them. So it goes to a wide level of information, then a small group, you know, masterminds, things of that nature. And then you may have where somebody wants to retain you as a consultant. So it's at that level. And then somebody may want to have you build out the strategy itself. And then from that level, somebody might say, hey, I want a one-on-one with you and my team for this amount of time. So they move up, but you're meeting them where they are versus saying what our old model used to be. We provide marketing, just hire us as an agency, mm-hmm. and we'll just market for you. So that's where we pivoted over the past few years.
That's awesome. I love it. What you really did was you looked at the services that you were providing and you began niching down to not just that ideal client and customer that you had found, but the ideal customer that you enjoy the relationship with, which is a huge factor in, you know, entrepreneurship. If you are not excited about the people that you're serving, you're not going to be able to serve them as best you can. If you're not excited about what it is you're serving them with, you're not going to be able to serve them 100% in that way. So I love how you took them through the process of where you really started niching down and thinking about, okay, what are my strengths? What is it I can honestly do? And what is it I want to be doing? Not just what can I do, but what should I honestly be doing that's going to provide the value to the client and not also wear you out in the process, which I think is something that we as entrepreneurs kind of take for granted and ignore or forget that step in our journey. I really do remember going through that process of price points, figuring out where that break point is, what is it that's going to make me feel as though what I'm putting forth is of the greatest value to the client without making myself spend 8,000 hours to accomplish whatever the goal is while still charging the set price that I stupidly set in the beginning that, you know, doesn't even remotely close to cover the exorbitant amount of hours spent delivering the final product. And I completely understand what you mean. That is something that I think we all go through because we want to over-deliver. We want to provide the best experience possible. And yet we have that catch 22 where we're trying to figure out what that value would be for them and what that value truly is for us and what we need it to be. So thank you for that. What do you feel like really sparked that thought process for you? Do you feel like it was the burnout process? Do you feel like there was a specific client or customer or moment in the journey that really made you, you know, that aha moment for you that might have sparked that thought?
Oh, definitely. And you asking the best questions. really, it happened with a few clients, mm-hmm. to where the initial expectations were not being honored. So it became to where, and I, as an entrepreneur, a lot of us have seen this in the service industries, especially to where you're not now a service provider. Mm-hmm. They now have you as an employee. So mm-hmm. now all of a sudden they want you to clock in at certain times. They want you to be at every meeting, right, even if it doesn't involve what you offer to the company.
Right.
They want deliverables at, you know, on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I've had clients to during holidays like now to be, hey, it's Thanksgiving, but yeah, I want you to market this live stream. And I'm like, hey, bruh, it's Thanksgiving, you know, you know, so it's like,
You are preaching to the choir. I'll give you one better. I had a client call on our honeymoon.
Oh, wow.
This was very early on. This was 2 years into becoming an entrepreneur. So I'm fully aware of what you mean. And at that point, you want to serve. And I answered the phone. I thank God I'm still married to this day, Jeff.
I know. I know, because my wife gave me the I'll kill you grill.
Yes, and rightfully so. And, you know, I look back to it like if the roles were reversed, we're going to leave that part of this out.
And you know, the funny part about the Thanksgiving one was they were going to be on a two-week vacation right after that holiday. So I would have worked through that holiday. Then they would have took vacation where I cannot contact them. Don't contact me because I'm on vacation.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. Do you own your business or do they own your business? Right. And now you're an employee. When you became an entrepreneur, you did it so you could be your own boss. You did it because you wanted certain freedoms.
Yes.
Now you're just a remote employee.
Thank you.
And that's when I started saying I need to restructure what I offer.
Yes.
And I started to realize certain things they found out I had talents in, they would lump it into your offer. So all of a sudden they were like, well, you know how to do websites, but you know how to do SEO as well. So we need you to go ahead and optimize. And I'm like, that wasn't a part of this agreement, you know? And so you started to say, yeah, this is becoming more than what it's worth. Or you become a consultant without consultant fees to where they're like, we're vetting these companies. We want you to call these companies and ask them and then tell us your opinion about, well, that's not a part of our agreement for me to spend hours vetting companies. So that's when I started realizing I need to figure out what is the best fit for my company.
Yeah.
Because we're always taught that the client's always right, give above and beyond. We're always taught that. But, and I agree, you should always put your best foot forward. But at the same sense, you should always know your value. And that's the thing I've taken this year very serious of reevaluating what is your worth, what's my worth, what's the company's worth, and sticking to it.
Yes.
Because a lot of times we'll say, we usually charge this, but we'll go ahead and discount it for this. The problem with that is they usually will say, this is all we need.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden that completely changes once you sign the contract.
Yep.
So that's been for a long answer for your question. That was the turning point when I started realizing, you know what? I'm actually just a remote employee. They're treating me as if they will fire me if I don't make these meetings and I don't do this and that. And I'm like, that's not even what I'm hired for. I have nothing to do with that. But since they're so used to everybody got to attend everything at their organization, they look at you as a part of their organization in an employee fashion versus an agency to where you're a partner with them, providing them a service.
Right. Right. No, I agree 100%. There comes a turning point as an entrepreneur where you have to recognize your value and stick to it and maintain it. And I think that is another hurdle that we tend to wash past is that mindset piece. It's not just maintaining that positive mindset, but maintaining the entrepreneurial mindset. Because I think it's very easy to allow the client to become an employer when you're over providing, when you want to be doing the best, when you want to give your all, there are clients who will take advantage of that. And that's when you have to put your foot down and begin firing clients. That is a real thing, audience. You do have to fire clients at some point or another when you recognize that they're not valuing you in the manner that you should be. It will change your mindset. It will ruin the ability for you to maintain that journey. And I think it is a very huge piece of why a lot of businesses do not make it past that second year mark. I think it has a lot to do with the inability to get over that hurdle mentally and wanting to overdeliver and kind of falling back into, well, I kind of have a cushy spot here with this client. It's turned into more of an employer situation. And then you allow that to take over versus.
Yeah. And when's the last time you've had a 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night meeting?
Thank you. Right.
You know, and this is something that I definitely want to share with the audience. You're over delivering. You're there. Yes. But the problem is a lot of times you'll hit a month that client don't have your money.
Yes.
That you're expecting, and they expect you to understand. Now, all of a sudden, well, we were supposed to pay you this month, but we can't pay you this month. And now, all of a sudden, all those 10 o'clock at night meetings, all those extra things you did now become thorns.
Yes.
And you really don't want to work with the client anymore.
Thank you.
You know, but you've locked in and you're still trying to be the high road. Take the high road, the better person.
Yep.
But it starts to then fester because you're like, oh, wow, I've done weekends. I've done this. I've done that. Yes. And now you're telling me at the 20th of the month, you can't pay me now, you know, but it's because you went into an employee mindset versus, no, this is two businesses doing business. And my business operates like this.
Yes.
And that's one of the things, like I said, when you're doing something you enjoy doing, you're compensated the way you want to be compensated, and you set the expectations the way you want to run your business, things work out. When you start compromising on those three things, usually you start to see to where you have clients that you really are hoping fire you.
Mm-hmm.
And like you stated, you can fire them. That's just not something that we're really taught, but you can fire them as well.
Yes. Yes. No, I've definitely had to fire clients in the past. I've even had clients disappear for a month on vacation without any way to make any payments for the month. And this was back in the day, long before we had all the different methods of electronic payments. You know what I mean? Like nowadays, that's really hard to pull off. I've definitely had that back in the day where clients just disappear for months on end, or a month here or a couple of weeks there. And that definitely interrupts the flow of your practice and then adds another level of stress for you as a business owner. And it, you know, again, adds that mindset piece. You're falling into that employee mode of feeling as though someone else is taking control of your financial future, which is the exact reason that most of us became entrepreneurs in the first place, is to have that control. As you made the decision to really begin focusing and honing in on your own strengths and your strengths as a practice, as a whole, and finding the right clients and the right fit for your practice, do you feel that there was anything in particular that really helped you or hindered you when you began making that decision and making that pivot?
Well, I think what helped was taking time to step back and really look at what's going on versus just keep on doing business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Times like now, during the holidays, are great times to take and reflect over the year, what worked and what didn't work.
Yes.
And then based on that, what are we going to do moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep going day to day, and you don't take time to do that, you never get time to actually do that evaluation, and you just keep rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing is listening to podcasts such as yours and other podcasts to listen to other entrepreneurial journeys and see the hurdles that they've overcome and how they've overcome them. See some of the mountaintops that they've accomplished and start to say, you know, am I going down a path to get me where I want to be? Or am I just basically doing business as usual and next thing you know, 5-10 years have passed mm-hmm. and I'm still in the same spot. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really helped. Of course, audio books or ebooks or books, you know, reading, consuming information gives you more perspective. Mm-hmm. And if you have more perspective, you can make more informed decisions. So I think that that's really what helped. One of the things, I think one night I woke up and said, you know, you're complaining a lot. Mm. You need to change something. I'm like, because you're sitting here complaining, but you get up every day and do the same thing that you did yesterday. Right. And nothing's going to change. Mm-hmm. And so I started saying, okay, I got to change. So that was the first step. I got to change. Mm-hmm. Second step was what do I need to change though?
Right.
And I used to, Erica, I'm going to give a shout out to Erica. Mm-hmm. Erica Hill, she's a great life coach. She always would say, well, how does this make you feel? I hated that question. How does it make me feel? You know, I'm not in my feelings. This is business. And she'd be like, well, write down everything that you're doing and how it makes you feel. And mm-hmm. I started to realize the majority of my day, I was doing things that made me mad, made me miserable.
Right.
You know, and I started saying, well, I don't need to keep taking on projects like this, or I don't need to keep doing this or that. And so I started to kind of say, well, when I do media, I love doing podcasts. I love talking. I'm like, okay, I need to add that into what I do. Other things I didn't particularly like doing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, like I said, websites, I started to realize I'll take on the project because I can.
Right.
But I started to not really enjoy doing other people's websites because it is a lot involved with doing someone else's website and getting on the same page.
Yes.
Now, it's different when you're doing your own. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well, maybe that's something I don't offer. And if I do, it's a real win-win situation. So that really helped. And I think the more information you gather, the more you start to actually take a step back mm-hmm. and evaluate your business and your I guess you would say, feelings mm-hmm. And the revenue, you can start to say, okay, these are the step. These are the paths I'll go down. These are the ones I'll stay away from.
Excellent. I love that. And I appreciate you laying that out so clearly in terms of how to begin taking that next step. It's not just, okay, you thought about to practice and take the next step. It's okay, aligning those areas together. How is it you feel about what it is you're doing throughout the day? What is the customer saying in terms of their feedback across the board? And what does the revenue look like? Is it really sufficient as to where you want to see it? And then making sure that the next steps that you take are helping you to align those areas to where you really want to see them versus just coming up with a goal and starting to take action on it, because that is something that I think, you know, goal setting is not something that is clearly defined for people outside of a classroom. And it's not just a matter of coming up with an idea of something you want to do and starting to take action on it. Yes, that's what we preach quite often on the show, but I love the way that you really clarified how they need to go about setting those goals and beginning to take those steps. Really, what is it they're evaluating in order to move forward? I would love to go ahead and include a link to Erica Heal on the show notes page, because it sounds as though she was a great resource for you. And I would love to be able to highlight her as well. So that would be outstanding. I'll make sure to include that on the show notes page. But aside from Erica's guidance, do you feel there was something additional that may have assisted you in terms of making those decisions and steering that course, making that course correction for yourself?
Yeah, some of it was thank God for the rain, in a sense. Mm-hmm. So some of the bad months help steer that to say, mm-hmm. you know, this isn't really where I want to be. And then also, I always encourage people to be observant. Being observant of some others in my space, some clients that I've helped, I started to realize the opportunities that were out there that I was not aware of. Mm-hmm. And so that helped me make that decision as well. It was like, well, here's some others that are doing it, mm-hmm. doing what I want to do, and I can see it. And then here's some, you know, some people doing what I don't want to do, and I can see it. And here's where I am. Right. And so that really helped. And another thing is keep in touch with other people of like mind. Mm. You have to keep in touch with other entrepreneurs, whether they're at a level that's ahead of you or behind you. Keep in touch with them, because that mindset is so hard to keep, because yeah. you're around 9-to-5 people all the time, and they're always telling you, quit that silly dream that you have yes. and get a job.
Yes.
You yeah. know. Yeah. So you're not going to get the encouragement there. And that could be even people that you are have relationships with. Mm-hmm. That could be spouses. That could be brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, and they just don't see your vision. And it's sort of one of those things where you're putting poison in your passion. You're putting poison in that, to where you're thinking you're telling them and they're going to encourage you. And even though they may not discourage you in a very direct way, mm-hmm. something as simple as tones yeah. make a difference. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're doing that. Oh, yeah, you're going to be successful one day. Yeah, they said it in a way like, yeah, right. You yeah. know, keep right. dreaming.
Yeah.
So you need to be around people that can help elevate your mentality, elevate your motivation, elevate your knowledge. Somebody can't tell you how to be successful as an entrepreneur if they aren't one right. or have never been one.
Right.
That's one of the challenges with schools. Mm-hmm. A lot of the teachers that teach, you know, and I got a master's in marketing, and MBA, but the professors never owned a business.
Right.
So in theory, that might work, but in the real world, a lot of that stuff does not work. Yes. And so you want to be around people that know what they're talking about, that can say, hey, you're almost there. This is the one little tweak that can take you to where you want to be.
Yep.
So that's important. Meditation for me mm-hmm. helps. I think meditation clears your mind, and a cluttered mind cannot make good business decisions.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're the type of person that likes to be on social all the time and television and all in everybody's business and da 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 da, your mind's too cluttered with other stuff
yes.
that it can't think clearly, and you can't make good business decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a time for entertainment. But when you're really trying to focus on your business, I recommend meditating or taking a retreat. I mean, it can be a retreat as much as going to your local park and sitting in the parking lot. Mm. But get away from what your norm is
yeah.
so you can think without any distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's important, because usually that's when you will start hearing you know, you'll start hearing God talk to you and let you know, this is your path. You know, this is what it is. But you can't hear that if you got all this other stuff going on. So definitely. That I would recommend.
Definitely. 100%. I agree with you. You have to find a way to shut out the noise, have to find a way to allow yourself to clarify your thoughts. You've got to have a clear head, clear space, or even like you said, taking a retreat, as small as it might be. And I love what you mentioned, just even going into the car for a couple of minutes and going to the park, or I myself often take a drive when I need to clear my head. I'm not going anywhere. There's no destination on the drive other than home eventually. But sometimes I'll just take a drive to just clear the thought process of X, Y, and Z. Okay, what is my next step? How do I really feel about this? What do I truly want to do? But really taking that step away from the computer, away from the client calls, away from the family, away from all distractions, be it social media, TV. or TV.
Nowadays it is TV. They blended the two now, so we're streaming.
I know. Oh, goodness. So my brain is just running too fast and my mouth can't keep up at this point. But yeah, no, it's, you know, really important to take the time to take a step back, get away from the distractions, clear your mind so that you can honestly have a solid base as you go into your decision-making process. Trying to make decisions with a clouded head is not the best way to do so, be it in business or in life.
You do the same thing I do. I usually just get in the car and I just drive.
That's
how I clear my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's nobody else in the car, I don't have to worry about anything in the car. So you've made the pivot. You recognize that there are clients that you truly have a passion for serving and an area in which you truly want to be serving those clients. And you have now recently opened up a new group, the Marketology Group Experience. So please share with us a little bit about the experience.
Yeah. So the community is different than what most are used to. Mm-hmm. I started to look at what are all the elements that a business will need to grow? And how can I provide that in a way that they can see progress along the way? And it's not like college, like school, you know, where you're getting usually outdated information. So that's one of the reasons I didn't want to do courses, because a lot of times by the time you get the information, things have changed. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to do that. I wanted it to be ongoing learning. So with the community, there's course areas to where there's specialty topics that we'll talk about and go through some things, but that's updated as things change. But then there's also a consultative guided portion of the community to where you're going in and literally the things that I would do is if I was your consultant, you're doing it, but you're doing it on your time. So the questions that I would ask, the exercise I would have you do, things of that nature is all in the system. And as you go through the course, we'll have milestones to where then we interact and engage. And I follow up and make sure you completed your exercises, you understand what's going on, because the what is good, but you need to know why. And breaking down how to build your audience, not just, well, you need to know if they're male, female, what ethnic group, blah, blah, blah. No, here's why you need to know certain things and even expand past just demographics. You know, this is how you actually get your ideal audience. And then we'll go after that. Now you have your ideal audience. How do you set up your unique selling proposition? You know, how do you know? If you're just going on demographics, you don't know what their pain points are. Because just because a person's a certain age, a certain income level, a certain education does not mean that they want what you offer. You need to know what they need. And we go into that. And we go into how you can now position yourself to have benefits. Because here's another thing. People don't care what you're offering. They really don't. People do not go buy Coca-Cola because they want Coca-Cola. They buy Coca-Cola because they're thirsty.
Yes.
That's it. I mean, it's that simple. They don't say, well, you know, I've been drinking all day. I'm full, but I'm going to go out and give me a Coke. They buy because they're thirsty. Now, Coca-Cola has done a great job at branding to where when you are thirsty, it comes to mind.
Yep.
And so, you know, so we go through different exercises with that. And then after the consultative piece, there's also a piece for masterminds. Masterminds are very important. So you're going to position yourself with like-minded people in a small group, and we're all looking to help each other win. So we're all encouraging each other. We have exercises. I'll bring in other experts to talk about different topics within the masterminds. So that's another component. And then also that education piece with interviews and audio books and things of that nature, so you can educate yourself based on other people's stories. I have that component. So putting all that together in a community that's ongoing, I felt was very important for me to give to the community, the business community, versus just giving a service or giving a course. You know, I want to teach people how to fish versus just, you know, let us do it for you. Right. And then, like I said, as you go up the ladder, there's one-on-one consultation and so forth. But that's the main component of the community. And what I'm looking at is if building this community will help change the mindset, but also give the resources and information to help a business owner or a marketer or an executive be able to actually understand why they're taking these steps in their strategy. So they're setting up their strategy, but they understand why they're taking the steps and setting realistic expectations versus just saying, how much do you want to make at the end of the year? Okay, let's do these type of ads and let's do this and that because we saw some social posts or blogs that say that this is what we should be doing.
Right, right. No, you're really kind of taking a much deeper dive with your clients and providing not the just the what, but the why behind the what. Not just what are you serving and how are you serving your clients, but why is it you're intending to serve your clients and in what manner do you need to be doing that in order to do it best? That's an outstanding element that you have in there. I love the way you have the group set up. It sounds like a true experience and not a course. I love the differentiation and I appreciate the clarity there as well. I myself am super excited to go ahead and pop in there and check out the entire community. The mastermind sounds outstanding. So I look forward to seeing you in the community very soon.
Great. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, look forward to having you in. And also, you know, as a contributor to it, sharing your insights to the group, I think would be great.
Certainly. No, I'm looking forward to it. Very excited for that. I will be sure to include a link on the show notes page to the group as well. But the show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with an idea for a business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. And when we last spoke, you were looking for more of a consistent operations method. And it sounds like you really have evolved your practice to a point where you now have a rather consistent operations plan. So we'd love to know if you could go ahead and wave that magic wand once again and change anything at all in your practice, what would it be now and why? And how do you feel it would change not just your practice, but the marketing industry as a whole?
I think really, if I could continue to hone in on the needs of businesses out there and help them accomplish their goals, that's, I think, important. But I want to be able to automate and streamline a lot of the process that it will take to do that. I think that's the next step in the evolution right there, is to be able to just automate, streamline it in a way that makes sense, not so templated and cookie cutter.
Right.
So that's what I'm working on now. Definitely media has a lot to, in the upcoming, when it comes to marketing in a whole, as well as my business, doing more media and being consistent with that media that I need to do.
Understood. I love it. And I can really automating that process, but not automating it in such a way that it seems robotic, but really yes. automating it in a personalized manner. So techie community, if we have any AI experts out there, that's a pretty good one. Get on the automated personalization of really customizing these packages, because when you get into the consulting, and that's part of the reason why I myself have not built out the full digital course just yet, because I find it's really difficult to package what it is I'm doing in a digitized manner for each and every client, because it is so different as it goes across the board. So techie community, you have two customers right here. One, two,
yes.
You know, so. Get on it, guys. Jeff, you have been outstanding, and I truly appreciate you joining us again. Please share the best way for the audience to find you.
Well, the best way to find me, Mr. Marketology, that's MrMarketology, across all socials, and info@MrMarketology.com is the email. As far as if you're interested in the community, you can go to MarketologyGroup.com. You can sign up. One thing that I am offering, go to MarketologyGroup.com. I am offering 365 days of marketing tips and strategies. So if you go on there and sign up, every day I will be providing you with a new tip or strategy or resource to your inbox.
That is wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you. I am sure that not only myself, but many listeners will be sure to pop over and sign up, and we'll include a link to, on the show notes page to that as well. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Jeff, thank you again for sharing your time, energy, and wisdom with the community. I truly enjoy every conversation that we have the opportunity to have. And techie community, head on over to MarketologyGroup.com and grab your 365 days of marketing tips direct from Jeff Beal himself. You can always reach out to Jeff via email at info@MrMarketology.com, or you can always reach him through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Jeff Beal. Thank you once again for joining us here for episode 96. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. Thank you again for joining us. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week. Audio edits by Martin Adino. Episode art created by Lori Brooks.